From Welcome Villain Films, the studio that brought you the horror hit Malum, as well as Beaten to Death and Hunter Killer, comes their newest nightmare, Mind, Body, Spirit, now available on digital. Directed by Alex Haynes and Matthew Miranda, and produced by Dan Asma, Mind, Body, Spirit follows Anya, an aspiring yoga influencer, as she embarks on a ritual practice left behind by her estranged grandmother. What starts as a spiritual self-help guide quickly evolves into something much more sinister, as Anya becomes increasingly obsessed with the mysterious power of the practice. She unwittingly unleashes an otherworldly entity that begins to take control of her life and her videos. Now, Anya must race to unlock the truth before her descent into madness threatens to consume her mind, body, and spirit. During its festival tour, with stops at Chattanooga Film Festival and the Unnamed Footage Festival, Mind, Body, Spirit garnered praise from critics who call it a found footage version of Hereditary and a knockout found footage horror movie for the live stream era. Experience the first ever yoga-themed found footage horror film, and don't miss the film viewers have called extremely frightening and upsetting. Available now on digital anywhere you rent or buy movies online, including Prime Video and Apple Plus.
Somebody please think of the children!
And welcome back to Little Cuts, our weekly mini-sode where we dig into the things that we've been watching recently. I'm Terry.
And I'm Mary Beth. Wearing a Hoagie Fest 2015 shirt, I know that all of my East Coasters will understand that I found this at a thrift store. Let me just tell you, Hoagie Fest 2015. If you know, you know. But this week, we are not chatting about hoagies, even though I love a hoagie. We are actually chatting about demonic summoning, analog horror, Christopher Walken, Armageddon, Korean found footage, and Nazi med scientists. I'm talking, like, all found footage today, by the way. Like, so just get excited for that.
That's
I know.
That's wild. So before we do get into what we're talking about, I just want to put this out there for the Fresh Wounds subscribers on Patreon, that when we switched over to Dread Central, it kind of messed up our other podcasting host. And so I did a mad dash today to get all of the episodes back up. So you're going to see, if you log into your Patreon, you're going to see a ton of posts, but it's the only way for me to get the audio posts up on back on Patreon. So apologize for our mess, dear Patreon listeners, but all of your stuff, including today's episode on Frontiers, are all up there in order. Everything is good to go. So sorry about that. It was a mess. And I was like, ah! So if you're a Fresh Wound subscriber on Patreon, please excuse our mess.
Demonic summoning.
Yeah, so I'm trying to catch up on movies that I've missed this year, trying to like round up my top 10 that we're going to be talking about pretty soon on the podcast.
Ooh.
This is a movie that there's two reasons that I watched it. One is that I needed to get caught up on it, and two, we were going to get the co-writers and the slash director on the on the show, and you'll find out that that's happening. Spoiler alert. So I watched The Sacrifice Game, directed by Jen Wexler and written by Sean Redlitz and Jen Wexler. It takes place at Christmas. Love a Christmas horror film. It's set in the 1970s at a boarding school where these two students, Samantha and Clara, aren't able to go home for the holidays. And so they are kind of the holdovers over the break. At the same time, there's this cult, this Manson-esque cult of people that are going around killing specific people. And it seems like there might be some kind of demonic thing going on with that as well. And they end up colliding with the school, and not to use a pun, but all hell breaks loose. I really like this movie. I enjoyed The Ranger, and this movie I think is a definite step up in terms of Jen Wexler's directing ability. Like, this is so much more assured, and I think that this is a really good Christmas horror film. It's a good demonic movie. It has some really good acting, has a great cast, some really gnarly kills. I was surprised at some of the bloodletting in this. But I really, really dug it. And it's on Shudder right now, so y'all can go can go watch it. You saw this one too, Mary Beth.
Okay, so I saw this at Fantastic Fest, and I was so excited because I loved The Brain Jar. Like, I know, like, you know, I understand people's, like, complaints, but I was... Jen Wexler was also, like, the first person I ever interviewed as a journalist, as, like, part of my film career. So, like, that movie is a very special place in my heart. And so I was really excited to see this. And I fucking love this movie. Like, I wrote in my review that, like, this is, like, the next Christmas classic. And, like, I'm not bullshitting. Like, I really do think that this is, like, everyone's putting out Christmas horror movies. Like, everyone's like, oh, that's hot right now. But this one, like, actually understands the assignment. It's not... It uses the Christmas setting really well, but doesn't make the whole thing about Christmas. It's not trying to be too gimmicky, but it uses Christmas to its advantage rather than as, like, the central gimmick to it, which I really appreciate. Not that I don't appreciate holiday horror movies, but, like, things like this that are, and, like, and Black Christmas have this feeling that they utilize Christmas, but don't use it as, like, the crutch of why it exists. And I think that's really important for a holiday horror movie to really work for me. And I think it's really amazing because I think we're seeing Jen Wexler when she's given, like, a decent budget and a decent, like, cast and a decent access to resources and, like, see what she can do. Like, look, this badass made this really cool movie with limited material, but, like, now look at her using Mina Masood, who is Aladdin, is, like, playing a crazy-ass Charles Manson character. But then, and there's, like, a huge, it's just so much bigger. And still indie. Like, I would still consider this indie, but it's bigger than what The Ranger was. And so it's really amazing to see that. And I also think, I won't go too deeply because it's kind of into spoiler territory, but, like, the way this portrays female friendship, too, and, like, female camaraderie is incredible. I really love how this movie portrays not just, like, friendship between young girls, but also, like, relationships with a female teacher. But also there's one female cult member, and I think there's a lot of really interesting stuff going on with her development as a character throughout the movie. So it's just really cool to see a filmmaker like Jen. And also, this was produced by Heather Buckley, who's another huge badass in horror. Like, she is so fucking cool. But it's like, when you give these badass, like, women money, they make a really good fucking story that's gory and gross and fun and, like, kind of queer and also inverts everything you know about, like, religious demon movies. So I just, like, really, I just really love this movie.
Great cast. I was really impressed with the cast that she managed to get together for this one, too.
Yeah, I know. It's a good one. And Georgia Ickles, who plays Clara, this is her first movie. And I can't wait to see what else she does, because she fucking rules in this movie.
She's really good.
It's on Shudder now, so y'all should watch it. It's the perfect holiday, cozy, inside when it's cold movie.
And you really should watch it before our episode on Monday.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, let's talk about analog horror.
So this week... A friend of the show, Tony Kaufman, was DMing me that he found this video about the creepiest and weirdest internet mysteries of the year.
Oh, I think you might have sent that to me, too. I haven't watched it yet, though.
Yeah. So he DM'd this to me. It's like 3 hours long. I only watched part of it. I haven't watched the whole thing yet. And so the next day he DM'd me and was like, holy shit, like, this series that I found on that video I sent you is terrifying. You have to watch it. And I was like, oh, it's called Greylock. And it just came out this year. It's an analog YouTube series. And so I was like, all right, it's the holiday week. It's like a holiday week for work. I'll just put it on while I work. Let me tell you, this is how you do analog horror. So Greylock, if you liked The Empty Man, you will like Greylock. Ooh. Let me just put it that way. So it's 11 videos on YouTube. And it is basically an ancient entity kind of is awoken, and there are tulpas and weird mind madness things going on so often. And I love analog horror. So analog horror, for y'all who aren't familiar, it's like Mandela Catalog, The Back Rooms. A lot of the time people, it looks kind of just like PowerPoint horror, which is another thing, another name I've seen for it, because it's like that's a really easy way to emulate the style of analog horror. But the point of analog horror is like looking like a VHS tape. Like Mandela Catalog did some really cool stuff with, again, a lot of static images, but Greylock, it looks like more found footage. There's a lot of static images and talking, but it's not just that. And there's a lot of really freaky jump scares, and it's got a snuff film feeling to it. And I need to watch it again because there's just like a lot going on. But let me tell you, there is one episode where I was just like, it is broad daylight, and I'm actually a little bit freaked out right now.
Oh.
I really want to watch it again, but it's... This is how you do analog horror. I mean, like, again, I understand people playing with the idea with, like, the kind of PowerPoint, I mean, like, the slide presentation of it. But this is, like, a really good mix of that simplistic thing, but then also some acting in it, a lot of really good voiceover work, and just, like, a lot of really weird-ass images all kind of coming together. And it's, like, it's basically like you're watching evidence tapes. And each episode is named Tape 011, 010. And so it's like you're watching evidence tapes, and it's like you're watching evidence of a calamity that happened and like what happened and like kind of piecing together the puzzle. Each episode, they start out short, and then towards the end, they're about 20 minutes long.
Yeah, I've noticed like some of them start like at 1 minute, and then like the last episode is 20.
And so the last episode was posted 2 months ago. And so I am unsure if it is still going or if it is not. I haven't done a ton of digging into it, but I think there's just from what I watched, and like I watched all of them, it looks like there might be more. But yeah, I'm really into it. It's like, this is the kind of shit I'm like so excited about, like seeing what people can make online and are putting on YouTube and are making so cheaply, but it's so effective. And like, this is the kind of horror that people, especially like younger people, are gravitating towards. Like, I always look at my brother, who's 21, and like he loves analog horror because he can just watch it on his phone. And seeing, and I've watched a lot of analog horror, and it's like really hard now to find the good ones. And I had never heard of this one. And so I was really stoked that Tony sent this to me, because it's really good. And especially if you liked The Empty Man and like Twin Peaks, absolutely. Highly recommend.
I just added it to my watch list because this sounds really intriguing. And just the still images on here are kind of gnarly.
Oh, yeah, they're pretty gnarly. It was it's a good spooky watch. I think it's a good watch, like when you're at night, headphones on kind of situation. So
Kate in the chat typed Twin Peaks, cough, cough, Terry. Yes, Twin Peaks. I'm moving through it. I will be finishing the second season. I know, Kate, I know. For those that don't know, I do like this podcast with Joe Lipsett on the Anatomy of a Scream Pod Squad, and we're going through the works of Cronenberg and Lynch, and we are currently working our way through Twin Peaks, and it might not be my favorite, but that's okay. Mary Beth doesn't hate me too much for that.
No. Season 2 is hard. Season 2 is hard. I understand. Like, I get it. Season 2 is weird. It's long, and it's a little weird. But anyway, kind of related, just due to, like, end of the world type vibes, Christopher Walken and Armageddon, I need to know exactly what the fuck.
So, yeah, so I'm getting my, I don't know if, like, y'all can see, but... I'm getting my my orders in from Black Friday, and I got the ones from Vinegar Syndrome this week, and I'm trying to go back through my massive collection of physical media that I have not gotten to yet, and I was like, you know what? I'm in the mood to watch The Prophecy. Have you ever seen this, Mary Beth?
I have not seen this.
So this is a series of films.
Yes, there's quite a few of them, right?
There are. The first three have Christopher Walken in them. And then they end up going on with different characters, probably because they started to, you know, dip in. And quality is a subjective word for this, but dip in quality for the rest of the series is what I'm guessing. I had never seen it. I remember seeing the VHS art in the movie sections and thinking,
yeah,
Christopher Walken always weirded me out growing up. And I think it's because all I had known
what are
him,
you old?
All I had like in my head was his performance in Communion, and also like he just, I don't know. He just is quirky and weird, and I don't think as a young kid / teenager I was ready for his brilliance. I really love him now, but back then I was like, this is that weird dude. and the cowboy, yep, the cowbell sketch, yep, exactly, Kate. And so he'd always been like that weirdo that just, I was not on his level. But let me tell you, The Prophecy's cast has Christopher Walken, Elias Koteas, who we saw in Exotica, and he was also Casey Jones in the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movies. Virginia Madsen, Eric Stoltz, and Viggo Mortensen as the devil.
What the hell? I didn't know all these people were in this movie.
I didn't either.
Granted, I haven't looked into it at all. I just always see the cover and it's Christopher Walken looking kind of scary, and then I've moved on from there. Like, that is really all I know. Uh-huh. Oh, now I know this.
And it has Amanda Plummer and Adam Goldberg in it, too. So just a wild cast that, like, you would think that this would be a bigger deal of a movie than I think it might have been. But just because of the cast that's attached to it, this movie is about...
Yeah, what is it about?
It has wild... Tell me. It's very wild. The energy is very off in it. For a movie in which you have this cast and you have Christopher Walken playing Gabriel the Angel, I kind of expected it to have a little bit more of a manic energy, but it is more of a noir detective-y type of story where we're following this Elias's character, Thomas Daggett, what a name, who...
Daggett!
When the movie opens, he is going to become a priest, and as he is kneeling down to kiss the floor to become a priest, he has this weird vision of war and heaven and hell, and it freaks him out to the point that he leaves the priesthood. Years later, he's now a detective, and he is investigating this strange case in which they find body that does not have eyes. And when I say does not have eyes, I don't mean like they were ripped out of him. Like, this body has never had eyes. It doesn't have the things.
There's like no eye socket. It's just like skin.
They're empty. That's empty eye sockets, but like the
there's muscles, like no like meat or yeah, anything in nothing. There.
And there's nothing in there for the eyes to connect. So it wasn't as if like someone plucked the eyeballs out. It just never had eyes. And had both male and female genital situations going. And has the blood chemistry of an aborted fetus.
What?
Is a line that is spoken.
Wait, I have so many questions about that, but I'll move on. Okay.
And then they find a Bible that has an expanded book of Revelations that talks about a second war in heaven and a prophecy that a dark soul will be found on earth and used as a weapon to damn the world, I guess. And so we have Gabriel, played by Christopher Walken, who is a fallen angel, and we have Simon, played by Eric Stoltz, who is an angel from heaven. And they are doing battle on Earth to, I guess, Christopher Walken wants to bring on the apocalypse. And so they're looking for this dark soul, which Simon gets at one point. And there's this really uncomfortable moment where he is like, he looks like he's living in an abandoned school. And this little girl who is Native American, like, befriends him. And he ends up, like, putting this dark soul in her body through her mouth. So that's weird, because he basically, like, puts his mouth on hers and breathes the spirit into her.
I just feel like you're telling me a dream. I just don't. I'm still kind of stuck on the aborted fetus blood chemistry thing, too, honestly.
I know. And to make matters worse, I was watching this on Ambien. And so...
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
I am looking back through my notes, and I'm like, I don't even know what I was trying to say here.
Honestly, though, like, I feel like that's the way to... This movie sounds like the kind of movie you have to watch while you're on Ambien.
It's wild, and I can't even begin to, like, it has a weird energy where it feels kind of boring, but it's also the most bonkers thing that I've seen in a minute. So I don't know really how to describe this film adequately to really fully understand the madness that is The Prophecy, but it was definitely an interesting film, and I'm excited to dig into the sequels, but it is weird. It is a weird-ass movie. I don't know what else to say.
Huh. Okay. Yeah.
So that's The Prophecy. You can get the first three from Vinegar Syndrome.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
All right. So from aborted fetus blood to Korean found footage, hit me. What is this? I'm very excited.
Okay. So today I was working on my top 10 found footage movies of 2023 list, or the best found footage movies of 2023 list. And I had some stuff on there, but I was doing some last minute research to kind of see if I had missed anything big, if there's anything I needed to see before kind of putting the finishing touches on the list. And I have seen most things, but then I came across a movie on Letterboxd that I had never even heard of before that came out on iTunes just like randomly this year. But it's called Marui Video.
Okay.
M-A-R-U-I Video. Okay. And it is like Niroi meets Lake Mungo, kind of meets the Poughkeepsie Tapes, but it's not as successful, but it's still really interesting. So it has that setup of like, we found the footage and we put it together. This is what happened. And the whole conceit is this documentary film crew was trying to track down this tape of a brutal killing that took place in the 90s. And they find the tape, they watch it, and they see something in the background that looks like a ghost. And they start digging as to like what could have caused this. And it's kind of filmed like a slick Netflix true crime documentary while also melding like found footage, like handheld video techniques, which is really interesting. And it basically goes down this rabbit hole of like, it goes on this crazy rabbit hole. I don't want to spoil anything because like a lot of it is really interesting to like kind of get to as they unveil it. The biggest problem the movie has is that it's trying to do a lot in an hour and 27 minutes. It's trying to tell like a really complicated story, and like Niroi does that, but Niroi is almost a 2-hour runtime.
Yeah.
So if this was a little bit longer, I think it could have connected some of the dots a little bit better. But that being said, I was pretty impressed by it. Like, again, I had never heard of it. I simply found it because, like, and like a couple people I know had seen it. So I was like, how the fuck did I miss this? But yeah, it was a really interesting mix. It's like, you see, there's like flares of Lake Mungo, of what Niroi is doing, of like, because like Niroi is that kind of like down the rabbit hole, and this is very similar. Like, it starts in one place as like a serial killer documentary or like a murder true crime thing, and becomes something very weird very quickly. It's like it's basically true crime becomes supernatural, which is cool. And I just wish they had like a little bit more runtime to like really get the connective tissue all together. But regardless, I am glad I saw it, because now I have seen another, like, barely talked about found footage movie. It's available to rent and buy on the iTunes store and on Apple TV. I bought it. It was cheaper to buy it than to rent it, so I just bought it.
Don't you love it when that happens?
Yeah, I was like, well, I guess I own this now. And it's like an hour and 27 minutes. If you're a found footage person, I definitely give it a watch. Yeah, I was really glad I found it. This is a time of year where I get excited to find little hidden gems like this, because I've seen so much shit. So it's nice to find something like, oh, this is a nice little surprise that I hadn't heard of.
And, you know, we'd been talking about Gonjiam Haunted Asylum, and I was thinking after talking about that movie.
Ho. Fucking ho.
Me too.
I mean, like, I guess you could do that, but you don't have to. Are you trying to get my attention? Oh, just stretchies. Hello. Sorry.
But I was curious, because I don't think I've seen a whole lot of Korean found footage films.
I haven't either. Yeah, this was actually, I was thinking about the same thing, because I was like, wait, hold on. I actually haven't seen a lot of them. And it's fascinating to me, because like there are obviously some like iconic Japanese found footage films, like but a lot of the found footage films from Japan are just from Koji Shiraishi. Like, right. They're not really done by other people. So I don't think found footage is obviously found footage is not like a distinctly American thing, but it's like it's harder for those lower budget movies to come over here.
Yeah,
I feel like. And so I am curious.
I did go to the Found Footage Critic website.
Oh, yeah.
And there are definitely some Korean found footage films that I did see on there, but it does not look like they are readily available here in the States. And I do wonder if it's because they are probably very low budget and doesn't have the kind of cachet that like Parasite does or something, you know?
Well, like Koji Shiraishi's movies, like you really can only find Niroi. And then I've seen Occult, because that's on YouTube. It's really hard to get access to like these kinds of movies. It's like you get like the one kind of example from a country, and then it's like either no one's making them or we're just not getting access to them. And there might not be as much. I also don't think there's as much as like of a market for them, I think, in foreign countries too, with the kinds of movies. But yeah, So if you are interested in more Korean found footage, highly recommend Marui Video. This director did another movie called with a similar title. It's called Makdugi Video. It's 53 minutes long. I don't know where to find it. I haven't looked, but it's another like kind of found footagey haunting movie. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's. I just like did a lot of finding weird things to watch on the internet this week, which has kind of been my MO.
I mean, it's kind of hard right now, right? Where it's like, I feel like, I mean, we talked a little bit about this off air, feel a little movied out right now. And my letterbox, when I was looking through what I've watched, it has definitely shown me that I've not watched a whole lot recently.
It's bad. Like, I haven't watched a lot recently, and it's like, I've seen most of the big horror things, but I also feel like, oh shit, there's some I haven't seen. But I also, like, you know, I'm not trying. This is like, it's so hard to complain about this because we don't want to sound ungrateful. Like, in critics, like, because we're in Gallica and the Critics Society and we get all these screeners and it's like, oh shit, I can watch all these other movies and genres that I don't usually seek out during the year. But now I'm like, I don't want to watch another second of a movie. I just want to watch, like, bullshit. But I'm glad that I pulled myself up by my bootstraps and watched at least some cool, weird found footage shit this week. And speaking of weird found footage shit this week, yes. What movie did we watch in our found footage series for today, Terry?
So we watched Frankenstein's Army, this weird-ass action horror found footage movie.
From World War II.
About World War II and a battalion of Russian soldiers that are lured to the secret lab of a mad scientist and forced to face off against a lot of weird-ass creatures that are a mix of man and machine.
What'd you think?
So here's the thing. There's one thing that I did not like about this movie, and it's something that I like realized as I was watching it it was a realization that movies nowadays are too dark, and this movie, which was filmed in 2013, could have used a little bit more darkness in the lighting.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Because this movie is very bright. I was surprised at how bright it was. It gives it a feeling of a set as opposed to more lived-in realness for me.
Oh, okay.
And I think that because it is, you know, in HD and it's bright, some of the creature effects in some of the close-ups don't necessarily look as good. But I also think that this is interesting because this is a movie that is very bright in a time when, like, people are complaining about not being able to see dragons and being able to see stuff on their movie. And so I found that just as like a film nerd, very interesting to see how this movie, which could have used darkness and could have been a lot darker to kind of hide the low budgetness of it, didn't do that. And now today we have all these big effects and no one can ever fucking see them because everything is so fucking dark. So that was my only complaint about this movie. Cause otherwise I was sitting here going, man, you don't get to see a lot of horror action as a found footage. Like,
this movie deserves more love.
It does, because this movie shows creatures, like, very quickly within the first act, and then it just sort of goes from there. And it's not like, I was afraid it was going to be, like, a very slow build-up, and then it was going to be, like, a third act of just mayhem. And there is a third act of mayhem, but the second act is exciting. The whole movie is an action horror film that just happens to be found footage. And I think that's really wild, because I don't see that very often.
Like, I know this movie is not perfect, but I just really love that it exists because it's so weird. Because it's like, it's such a weird mix of things. Like, it is a creature feature, it is a World War II movie, it is a horror action movie, and paired with the World War II, it's about Nazis. So it's like a very weird mix of things. Not for horror, like, that's a pretty common horror movie, but in the found footage style, it makes it feel so much more fresh, and it makes it feel much more interesting because you are actually embodying the perspectives of the soldiers, and you're also seeing some pretty awesome monsters. Like, I know I never thought about the lighting because I think I just love that you can see the monsters. They're never trying to, and like, I think that there's a pride to what they're able to create that I so deeply appreciate. Especially, like, my favorite one is like the guy that has like it looks almost like he's like samurai swords for legs, and it's just like walking around, and it's just like so fucked up, but so good in what it's doing. And it's just like, again, it's not perfect, but, like, it's a movie that, once again, so ingeniously proves what you can do with found footage and how you can make a really scary movie, or, like, at least creepy, like, getting that up close and personal first-person POV with monsters like that and, like, hand-to-hand combat type shit. It's just really, like, if you liked Overlord, you'll love this movie. Like, if you're into Overlord, then you should watch Frankenstein's Army ASAP. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah, an ancient relative of Frankenstein making zombie robots for Hitler. Yeah, that's fucking stupid. But, like, of course it is. Who cares? Like, that, and that's why I like it, because it goes full stupid to the point where you're like, I appreciate this. Like, it's not necessarily, it's not a comedy, but it's not also taking itself super seriously that you're like, come on, guys, like, this is a zombie Nazi movie. It's fun. It's having fun with what it's doing.
One of my favorite things when I was writing my notes was just, like, trying to come up with descriptors for the monsters. And so I have, because I was, my question I was going to ask you, and I think you kind of answered it, was what's your favorite monster? Because the ones that I wrote down was, I like the Iron Maiden mask guy. There's this person,
yes,
this one with, like, this mask that is like an Iron Maiden. And then the one that I think that you're talking about that I just called the Narwhale Stiltman, because it looks like he's on stilts and he has, like, this narwhal almost like knife thing that he is, like, stabbing down with. And so I call him the Narwhale Stiltman. So I think that might be the one that you're talking about. But I really, yes, like that one.
Yes.
And then there's the little pot boy. I don't know if he's a boy, but he looks like...
I love the little pot. When Steve and I were watching it, we were like, pot man.
It reminded me of Elden Ring. There's a pot person in Elden Ring. And I was like, aw, it's a little pot boy.
I'm so glad that you liked it. Or, like, enjoyed it.
I really enjoyed it.
Because, again, like, it's not, like, a masterpiece, but it's another fun example of, like, doing found footage differently and being able to do monsters and weird things with the technique. And how you can take stories we've seen plenty of times over and give them a more unique feel. On top of them also just, like, going fucking balls to the wall with it, which I greatly appreciate. If you like steampunk vibes too, this has got, like, weird steampunk vibe. A lot of the monsters have, like, a steampunky vibe to them, because this weird dude is building them in a gross lab.
With metal and parts of planes. I like the propeller character too.
Ugh.
Which I believe is the character that was stolen for Resident Evil 8.
Well, it's just like, they don't just, like, do one kind of monster. They're just putting on, like, they're doing the most and never dialing it in. So I appreciate that. And I still think this should get more attention.
Me too.
Just like an absolutely batshit found footage movie.
It was a fun one.
Yeah, it's fun. It's just a good time. So everyone, that is streaming on Tubi and a couple other places for free if you want to check it out. It's just like a good creature feature, weird World War II found footage movie. But we are going back to the present-ish with next week's movie. Terry, what are we watching next week for our found footage series?
Next week, we are watching the 2016 Blair Witch, a movie that was more maligned than it should have been. And I remember leaving the movie theater really enjoying it. So I'm excited to revisit it with fresh eyes, because it's been...
Me too.
2016. Man, it's been 7 years. Jesus.
I also liked it when it came out. I remember being pretty, like, I was confused as to why everyone was such a hater. So I'm excited to rewatch it again.
So yeah, that's what we're doing next week for Little Cuts. But Mary Beth, who are we chatting with? I mean, we sort of spoiled it, but who are we chatting with on Monday?
But on Monday, we are chatting with Jen Wexler and Sean Redlitz about The Sacrifice Game. And Jen brought with her this weird-ass movie that is apparently a Canadian classic that is called Jacob Tutu Meets the Hooded Fang.
I had posted on Twitter that I was watching this and was like, I have never heard of this movie before. Has anyone else on Twitter? And I've gotten some responses, and I put it on Blue Sky and Twitter, and on both ones, I had some Canadian people reaching out saying, it's a Canadian classic. And I'm like, oh, I had no idea. It's not readily available, although it is streaming on YouTube if you want to watch this bizarre Wizard of Oz-esque movie with fish people and slime squads and child power. It is a weird ass movie.
It's really, really weird.
There's a pair of kids whose shirt proudly proclaim child power, and they are superheroes in this world, and it is a wild ass time. It is on YouTube, and I don't know what else to say about it. It's from 1978.
Yeah. Yeah, it's bizarre. So get ready for that experience of a lifetime. But listeners, you've heard from us. We want to hear from you. Did you watch anything that we watched this week and have thoughts? Do you have suggestions for movies we should be covering? You can send us an email at scarredforlifepodcast@gmail.com, or you can reach out to us on social media. I am at MB McAndrews on Twitter and at MB.McAndrews on Instagram.
I am at Gaily Dreadful everywhere.
And of course, you should be following us on social media, the podcast on social media, at Scarred for Life Podcast on Twitter and Blue Sky. Nope, at Scarred Podcast on Twitter and Blue Sky and at Scarred for Life Podcast on Instagram. I got them mixed up in my head. Sorry.
And please don't forget to review, rate, and subscribe. And as always, if you want to help support us, we do have a Patreon. You could be watching us chat right now. And like I said, with our fresh wounds, we have our 11th episode, I think it is, that dropped this week on Frontiers. So go check that out.
Thank you to Eric Power for our artwork. Thank you to Sean Keller for our music. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Please stay safe out there. But most importantly, stay creepy.
And until next time.
Children!